what would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio with awkward camera angles, mic arm in my face. Back on local 107.3 for the third week running. We haven't been shut down yet. It's been very controversial.
Oh yeah?
Not really. I don't think so.
you did an election interview.
I don't think the CBC got taken off the air because they had the PPC candidate on.
From what I saw, they let him speak.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any of the other interviews. I feel like mine is the definitive interview. In this important election season that we probably won't be covering much of, because there will probably be, I think the last poll closed like an hour ago, so
Newfoundland results should be in by now, right?
Well, I looked at it about 45 minutes ago, and there was update exclusive, only found here. I've got the whole St. John Forward Radio team working in the background.
Note the enthusiasm in his voice.
The Liberals have 16 seats so far. The Conservatives have 5. NDP has 1. Everybody else has 0.
So Newfoundland is a red province.
We're officially calling it St. John Forward Radio Liberal Majority.
We did it, ladies and gentlemen.
The results are in. Mandatory blackface for all.
Oh, man. I cannot. I'm finally in my element.
That's great. I mean, who would have thought that a different picture from the same event of Trudeau in blackface dropped the day before the election?
I like that they've been
surprised that, we've got a colorized version of Trudeau colorizing his face.
That's like, I mean, when those old movies were colorized by Ted.
All the old conservatives saw that come up on their computer screen and they jumped out of the way, like that old old train movie. So, anyway, my guest here is Brian Godso, already participating more than usual for the intro. I'm out of sorts. Usually I'd make you sit here in silence for 10 minutes.
Yeah, where's your prepared speech that no one's going to listen to?
I was going to talk about the goofball that was at the PPC rally. Or it wasn't even a PPC rally. It sort of was on Saturday.
It was a freedom rally?
It was against the vaccine passports that are coming on Wednesday, and apparently we've also got the mask coming back on Wednesday. So you heard it here first on St. John Forward Radio. By November, COVID will have been eradicated.
That's right. We did it, ladies and gentlemen. Mission accomplished.
0 cases, 100% vaccination rate.
All we had to do was tell people to do it.
I mean, who are you out there who, like, hit us up in the comments here on YouTube or Facebook. What kind of COVID results are you looking for to justify the tyranny? Hit us up in the comments.
I don't know. I feel like we won't eradicate COVID until we see military vehicles in the street.
I think they will just explode the COVID right out of everybody. I think they should just fire artillery rounds at all of the unvaccinateds, and that'll probably work.
I think that's how Trump would have handled it. Not the unvaccinateds, but the disease itself. Like, he was going to nuke that hurricane, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. I think we need to round up all of the unvaccinated. We'll put them in camps, and we'll just drop a nuke on the whole thing.
Oh, whoa, hey. I'm not talking about nuking the unvaccinated.
Oh, just the sick people? The vaccinated people that caught COVID, probably because they were naughty somehow.
Ah, man, the disease itself. Why aren't we doing something about killing the disease?
Okay, we need to get some psychics involved, I think, and like a Ouija board maybe, and a bunch of all of the vaccinated people across the countries need to lock hands. We'll conduct a ritual, and we'll make COVID take its, like, corporeal form, and we'll get a Ghostbuster trap. It would be a nice tie-in with the new movie.
Now you're thinking about the science. But now you're going with the science.
But then the PPC will come, and they'll shut down our COVID storage vault, and it will fire a big beam of lightning into the sky, and all the COVID will get out again, unfortunately.
And all orgasms will be canceled.
All of them. So they had a rally in King Square on Saturday to against the COVID passports, which I'm on board for. I took my magical elixir, but I don't know. I feel like we skipped right over just kicking the unvaccinated really hard in the shins, get them to try to take it.
Well, where I disagree with the COVID vaccination passport isn't so, because I'm more pro on the pro vaccine side. I'm not gonna tell anyone that, you know, what they need to do or whatever, you know, it's all anyone's business, but you introduce something like that, and all you're going to do is create a point of conflict. Like, someone's going to be doing their job, yeah. Like, and they're probably making like $11 an hour or whatever, and they're coming up to someone who's obviously very heated about this and asking them to show them this passport that they might not be able to produce.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Brian Godso, because, we all know that it's mostly rich white male capitalists that aren't getting the vaccine, so they're the only ones that will get hit by it. Maybe we'll have a new unvaccinated tax, but we'll get a check back every year so that it only hits the big corporations. That's probably what we'll do. But I think that's the problem with the whole thing. Like, you had to clarify that you were pro-vaccine. Like, there is such a thing as an anti-vaxxer, and there's certainly a lot of overlap. But this isn't like pro-passports versus anti-vax. There is a huge swath of people in the middle that aren't anti-vax. I don't know. I don't know. This was the closest I've ever gotten in my life to not getting a vaccine that was being recommended. I mean, I've gotten all my other ones, but I've always been against, like, mandatory vaccines. They tried to push it through onto school kids, like, a little while ago. It was, like, shortly before COVID, it feels like.
Right.
And that failed because, you know, cooler heads prevailed and decided, yeah, let's not do that. But now, I don't know.
I think where the problem lies, and I'm by no means an expert. I'm an idiot.
I brought you in as a COVID expert. Are you not an epidemiologist?
Oh, I am, in fact, an accredited epidemiologist.
Have you not been following the science, Brian?
I've been making the science. I've been out there in the science center.
All of my friends on Facebook, they've been reading science books left and right. I mean, they clicked on the science section of the CBC, and that's basically the same thing.
That's where all the science is. It's at cbc.ca or CBC Gem, which it's free with anything that can stream.
That's really what science is all about. You just decide on the outcome, and you double down regardless of all reality.
Yeah, that's pretty sure that's how Kim's Convenience ended.
Yeah, no, we start out, we'll send everybody home for 2 weeks, and this whole thing will burn right out. But then, you know, there was all the angry people that wanted to get haircuts, and they're the ones that made COVID keep going. And then they were like, you know what? Let's reverse 20 years of wisdom on whether or not masks work for this kind of thing, and let's do that. Oh, and now it's the people that don't like masks that are causing COVID. And then as we have a vaccine, and then Donald Trump said that there was a vaccine coming, and everybody was like, shut up, you liar. And then 2 months later, they had one. and now it's the unvaccinated. I mean, I don't know what the end game is. I don't think they know either, and that's
the problem.
I don't know what to do. The problem is everybody's pretending like they do, and instead of everybody being mad at, you know, Papa government, who's supposed to be keeping us safe, which I don't know what they should have done. I don't know if there's, I mean, what's the model? Where's the place that got it right? Because from what I've seen, every time that they put out an article, like, these people know what's up. And then 2 months later, like, now everybody's dying because they must have stopped wearing their masks.
I think that's the problem, and I think it's unique to this thing, is that nobody really knows what to do. And we're used to, especially, like, in this day and age, we're used to having a problem, having a plan that might take a couple of months, problems resolved. And it just sort of follows that pattern, but this is so chaotic, and nobody knows what's happening. Nobody knows what to do. Everyone's pretending like they know what to do to the point where they're being condescending about it, which is why you have this conflict in the first place. Because, you have people that are trying to shame people into doing the right thing, or what they believe to be the right thing. And has that ever worked in the history of history?
No, and, I mean, the vaccine passport thing doesn't even make any sense, because it doesn't even stop the spread. So, I mean, an argument could be made that vaccinated people are more likely to accidentally be spreading it around because they have less symptoms. An argument could be made.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who's the model for this? I think Israel is, they were, like, right out of the gates, and they have one of the highest, if not the highest, vaccination rates in the world. They were the first ones to get it together and to get a huge, but even them, I think they're like 80%, which I think is the best that we can hope for, and we're like 3% less than that.
Yeah, we're the New Brunswick. I know people are freaking out about cases. Part of that's the media, because they're milking this thing until there's no milk left. Yeah. Like, they it needs to sound scary, and they're focusing on those larger case numbers because they want people to keep watching. What the numbers that you need to be watching, and the numbers that get downplayed every time, aren't the case numbers. It's hospitalizations. Deaths
and the sad fact is our hospitals suck anyway. Like, government things are the only thing that complains about having too many customers. Like, there are 12 people in the hospital, and everybody's freaking out about it. Like, if 12 people break their legs, are we gonna, you know, let's make everybody sit down for 2 weeks straight. We'll outlaw standing up, just in case. We don't want to overwhelm the hospitals.
Yeah,
and we've had a year and a half to add capacity to this, and I know the nursing shortage, and they haven't thrown enough money at it. I mean, there's tons of money being thrown at our healthcare. It's being spent poorly. It's hard to find information on how exactly our healthcare system is set up in New Brunswick, but I've seen other people talk about more in the States. Like, I've seen, like, the budget generally for healthcare, again, fact check me if I'm wrong, hit me up in the comments, but I would bet that the healthcare budget has gone up every single year forever. It may have gone, the going up may have slowed down a little bit at some points,
right,
but the budget has gone up. And in the U.S., I think the biggest problem is that I saw a graph, which, you know, that makes my autism feel nice and warm. but you show the line of, like, the total number of doctors and nurses, and it's a pretty, like, a very slight incline, but, like, admin staff, it's like, and that's where the money goes. I feel like it's just people adding bureaucracy to the whole thing. And I do feel bad for the nurses. They do get a bit whiny on Facebook, being honest, because mostly, I mean, I want to be sympathetic to the nurses, and I want to believe them, but I hear the same griping from teachers, and I used to be one, and I know they're full of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, teachers are the worst. I mean, I used to think, oh, this is this is a terrible job. Oh, my God. I've only got, like, 4 months of vacation every year. I'm off work at 3:30 p.m. every day. It's like, I used to think, like, because teaching was, this is exclusively full of people that have no real world experience. They go to school, and then they go to university, and then they get a job in a school. They've never had a real job other than, like, their part-time university fast food jobs. I mean, if I just stayed, like, I was very busy. I was an early teacher. Usually, you teach in high school level. There's five periods in the day.
Right.
You teach for four of them, and you have a period off. So that's a full hour where you have no commitments that you can work. You get, and there's lunch break too, which occasionally you take your turn doing like hallway duty or something.
Right, right.
So you've got minimum 1 hour off every day, plus at least half of the lunch break. And I had, instead of three classes in one like double, where you're teaching the same class like to two different groups of kids, so yeah. You only need to make up one set of class or like tests and lesson plans and stuff. I had four different classes. All classes that I had never taught before. So compared to other teachers who only have, like, most of the time, three different classes, and the longer they've been in there, the more likely they've actually taught those classes before, and they've already got last year's stuff, and you can kind of just go through them.
Right.
There's still marking and stuff to do, but even being a brand new teacher with four different classes that I never taught before, if I used my free period every day and stayed at work until 5 o'clock like a normal person, I would have gotten everything done. I wouldn't have had to do anything at home.
So it's not as physically taxing, but what about mentally or emotionally?
I mean, yeah.
I guess that varies from person to person, though, right?
It's taxing to have to rule over a bunch of children who rightfully ask you, why do I need to know this?
And you just want to tell them that they don't.
I mean, I don't know. From what I've seen, the most stressed out teachers are also the biggest psychos in the classroom. I don't know. The ones that are chill in the classroom, the kids like them and everybody gets along. That's been my experience. So the nurses, again, I'm sure they're overworked and you hear the stories. They're understaffed, so they have to go. Like, teachers aren't working like 14-hour shifts. I think that's happening with nurses. And I don't know. But if you are a nurse and you are stressed out because your job is very difficult and you're working long hours, and you go complain to your boss, hey, I'm stressed out, or what about my day off, or how come I'm working, I'm getting burned out, and your boss says, well, Wayne Higgs just decided not to give us money, so what are you going to do? They're going to go home and be like, goddamn Wayne Higgs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if they are working those 16 and 12 hour shifts, I can certainly understand that. Like, it's that's the hard part. Like, you like, whether it's physically taxing or not, and that's more physically taxing than,
yeah, it's being poorly managed. Anybody who has any job with bad management is going to be stressed out.
Oh, yeah. I come from the call center industry. You want to talk about mental stress, emotional stress, and bad management? That entire industry is just rife with it.
Yeah.
But we, like,
the, but, you know, you get to wear a headset now, so you've, the innovations of the market have stopped you from having to pick up a phone and hold it to your head.
yeah, that physical labor, back and forth, it's no longer there. But that's kind of the attitude towards that industry, is that, like, you just sit at home and, you know, you got the TV in the background, you take calls, you talk to people, whoop-de-doo. But
if I have to do two separate job interviews in the same day, I feel like I'm taxed. that's more words than I'm used to saying in a day.
Oh, you come home, and you're like, man, I'm beat. I had to talk to two different people today. I had to make eye contact, and both of those.
Oh, and both of them told me that they were okay with a part-time job, but they're looking for full-time. Like, get out of my face. You're just going to quit after 2 weeks.
Yeah, they'll train, and then they're gone.
Yeah, so anyway, the thing is, the people in charge, they've got a weird needle to thread where they've got to pretend like we are in charge and we are competent, impressive people, And they can't really just put their hands up and be like, I don't know what to do.
You know what? I would actually respect them more if they did. Like, if and they
sometimes,
admitted,
I don't know what to yeah. do is the right answer.
Yeah, like, if they admitted, like, look, we're all dealing with this for the first time. We're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall to see if it sticks. But if you can just bear with us and, like, just try to work with us, instead of being like, well, if you don't do this, then, you know, you're...
Well, I think part of it is that they can fail... And there's always somebody, if they have a rule, they can always point at the person that broke the rule, and that's why things went bad. Because you're never going to get 100% compliance for anything that you decide.
Yeah, well, you do that, and then the other people that also broke that rule that see it as arbitrary, they're just going to take it personally, because now they're being shamed.
Yeah,
and then they're going to rise up and...
But it's just a thing where they run out of tricks... And they can't just put their hands up and be like, I don't know, let's just live our lives and let this burn through us. I mean, you can't... A lot of semi-smart people on my Facebook are throwing around, like, oh, herd immunity, and we need to get some more people vaccinated. They're forgetting about the immunity part. The vaccine doesn't make you immune. So the vaccine, it will lower your symptoms... And make it more likely that if you catch COVID, you will get less sick.
Yeah.
I'm 100% on board with that. Follow the science. But if you can still catch it and spread it, it's not herd immunity. The whole point of herd immunity is that there's a whatever percentage of people that can't catch it and spread it. And that means that if, like, one person gets it, the herd, there's a buffer of immune people all around them so that it hits a wall and it doesn't spread as evenly.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, the vaccine serves the purpose of keeping you from dying from it, but what the message needs to be and what people need to get in the mindset of is, and this is a pandemic that we can stamp out. COVID's never going away. It's an endemic, and we need to learn how to... Like, the vaccine is still a good idea, but we need to learn how to...
Yeah, if you don't want to get sick and die,
yeah,
go for it. It's not you need to get it to protect me. That's stupid. Well, that's the very definition of selfish.
Well, that's it's like a flu shot, right? Not everyone takes their flu shots.
Yeah.
Flu's still around. Everyone lined up for the vaccine when the Spanish flu was around, and that even took 2 years to resolve.
Yeah, and if people aren't getting it, they have done a bad job selling it. They did a bad job selling it to me. I had to do my own research to convince myself to get it. Like, initially, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Just the way that it was sold, and just in the early days where we had all four of them, where they're like, oh, they're all great. You just take whatever you can get. Which, I mean... Any product anywhere, if there's four different companies making it, it would be impossible that all of them are equally good.
Yeah.
So just, it's a bold-faced lie to pretend that, yeah, whatever's available when you show up, you should be happy with that. And that weirded me out, and just the weird paternalistic shaming of it, and pretending like this is not a different kind of... situation than most vaccine. Yes, there is such a thing as like a straight up anti-vaxxer who won't even get like a regular flu shot, which again, I don't agree with, but I don't think we should force them to do it. But this is different. The previous shots, there is more data involved. Like, and I asked my doctor and he explained it to me that, you know, if thing was quicker because, you know, they just did all of the different stuff kind of at the same time instead of one after another, and that kind of compresses it. But I mean, the reality is it just came out less than a year ago. So like there's no, I'm not saying that I have good reason to think that, like, in 5 years there'll be all these crazy adverse effects, but we don't know. We don't know.
I'm not coming at it from that angle because I don't think that's.
I don't agree with that. I think, and again, from my own what I've looked at, because you kind of have to look at it on your own, because all you're going to hear from like public health and like the news is like, just shut up and do what you're told, basically, Like, this is good, and if you don't like it, you're a stupid anti-vaxxer. That's primarily the message that
That's not how you get people to... That's the problem with, like, that and most other things.
And just the rolling your eyes at anybody that's like, yeah, I don't know about this. And, I mean, don't even acknowledge that it's more important for older people to get it than younger people. That doesn't mean that if you're young, you shouldn't. But it's less important.
Well, it got real politicized, and it's an issue that doesn't need to be politicized. It's a public health issue. It's not a political issue. And right now, like everything else political, it's just this WWE thing. Like, you're either Team Big Show, where you get the vax, or you're Team New Day, or whatever, like, where you don't have the vax.
And it shouldn't
be that
way. I might be wrong on this, but I'm not sure if, like, everybody knows that COVID is worse for old people. I'm not sure that was, like, that's something that everybody knows, no matter how, you know, blue-pilled CBC-loving you are. I don't know
if... Yeah, that was right from day one.
I don't know if Jennifer Russell's ever given, like, a... I don't think they ever... Like, none of the official sources focus on that, even though it's, like, the most important thing. When they give deaths, it's generally, like, the total number. They'll ignore that, like, 75% of the deaths are people that are over 65.
Well, you're not going to keep watching if that's the case.
No, and they don't want to acknowledge... They don't want to give you any excuse to think, well, maybe this isn't such a big deal for me. And, I mean, almost nobody, except for, like, again, I don't call myself a conservative, but more conservative-leaning people are the only ones saying that, like, next to age, like, obesity is, like, a major factor. That's primarily why I decided to take it, because, like, at my age, I'm at very little risk. But you know, I'm like on the cusp of the lower end of obesity, so I'm at slightly more risk than I would be if I was 20 pounds less.
Right.
So that, you know, I looked at a thing. I listened to I tried to get out of my like libertarian bubble, and like the Economist magazine put out like a series of podcasts about, you know, called The Jab. I figured that was kind of a good middle ground where they're not like insane conservatives or liberals. It was interesting, and I mean they had some guy talking about it, and they used like machine learning and AI to just pull all of the raw data of everybody that they had in this database and what age they were and what their comorbidities were, and they built a tool. It's not perfect, but like, you can put in your age and your gender, and there's, like, a handful of comorbidities that you can put in. And I put it in, and I added obesity, even though it doesn't really differentiate between, like, a little bit obese and, like, 600 pounds obese. There's just yes or no.
So you think if, like, someone from my 600-pound life gets COVID, it's curtains, no matter how much vaccine he's got bumped in?
Probably.
I mean, it's curtains for that guy anyways.
But I punched in my information, and again, I put in obese, which is the same answer that I would have given if I was 200 pounds more than I am. But it said, like, my risk of death was still pretty low. I think it was, like, 1% or 2%. But my risk of hospitalization, according to this graph, was, like, 10 or 12%, which isn't nothing. So that alone was almost enough. Like, yeah, I better not chance it. But the messaging has been terrible, and we're finding out more and more that it's just straight up nonsense. Like, the messaging, when I looked into it, was Pfizer and Moderna were 95% effective, and the other ones, AstraZeneca and Johnson, I forget what AstraZeneca was, but Johnson & Johnson was, like, the lower one. I think that was, like, 60 or 65%.
Right.
But I watched a video about it, and the you know, the official science trademark was saying, yeah, that's from the control groups. That 95% means 95% you won't catch COVID at all. 5% of the people in the study still caught COVID, but they didn't have bad results. Yeah. So basically, 95% chance you won't catch COVID at all. 5% chance you get it, but it's no big deal. That's obviously not true. that doesn't make any sense. That there's more cases now when we have 77-point-whatever-percent vaccinated compared to last year when we had 0% vaccinated. It doesn't make any sense.
I think the difference being, because there was always going to be more cases now. Like, we're just more time has progressed. There's variants.
The variant, it's been like a month since I looked at it, but the last time I checked it when we had like the first, when they first went green, I think like when we had, I don't know how many cases, but I forget how many total cases there were, but like three of them were Delta. The rest of it, like, I don't know what it's at now in New Brunswick, but at least back then when the cases first started going up, a very small percentage of them were Delta.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky.
It was like 3 out of 50, or I don't know how many there were.
And you know what? We continue to be pretty lucky. Like, look at Alberta right now. Look at, like, the other provinces that are getting hit with this wave. Like, that's just it. Like, we've done everything we're supposed to have done.
But it's a wave that is hitting various different places all at the same time, all with different rules, but everybody acts like, oh, well, we went green and we got rid of the masks, so that's why the cases are surging. Like, maybe. Nothing, I mean, I...
That's what they're being told, and the people that are buying everything that they're being told, like, either one way or another.
Yeah, and it's not, like, when we first went into this, like, I don't agree that the government has the power to shut down the world for 2 weeks, but I at least acknowledge, like, it makes sense. I mean, nobody knew anything, and there's this thing happening, and it tends to, if you get it, the whole cycle was like 14 days, so makes logical sense that if everybody stayed home for 2 weeks that it would kind of burn itself out. That didn't work. And again, you can watch the back episodes from the John Forward Crazy at Home live streams. I guarantee nobody who's pro-mask has read a single scientific study about them. If they did, it was like the beginning part where it's like, masks are better than nothing, we think. But then you read it, and it's like, barely, and only under very specific circumstances. But I don't want to say that this is happening because the people in charge are incompetent. I think it's just that there's really nothing that we can do other than like focus protection for like the most high risk people. I mean, keep the old people. Let's lock them up tight. Like, but don't like lock them in a room so that they're like depressed. There needs to be some balance. I mean, how many lives could we save if we just lowered the speed limit to 20 kilometers an hour? But people understand that that's not worth it.
Well, I don't even think it's necessarily the incompetence.
It's just they're pretending to be super competent people, and they're pretending that if only everybody listened to us, then everything would be fine. But I mean, what evidence is there of that?
Well, it's not competence. It's the messaging.
Yeah, and
they're doing the best they can with what they have, but they're selling it in a way that, like, if you don't do exactly what we say, then you're an awful person.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of the... I mean, I broke my non-voting streak today, and it's not because I love the PPC and I think that I want Maxime Bernier to be the prime minister. It's just... I mean, usually I don't know. I think politics is stupid and pointless, but this is the first time in a long time where there's been at least some, like, there's one group of people that are like, all this stuff that we're doing for COVID is terrible, and I think it's terrible, so I'll vote for the least bad option. I don't think they're going to win. I hope they pick up enough seats to be annoying. That's the best case scenario for me.
I don't even see that happening. I think maybe one, maybe two seats. But
I mean, my first option would be to abolish the government completely. But
yeah,
failing that, I would like to see, as much as I don't like all of the stuff that they stand for, but I think it would balance things out a little bit better if the PPC caught up to like the NDP. Where we've got the two milquetoast bland parties in the middle that are basically the same thing. And then we've got the NDP that pulls a bit more left, and we've got the PPC on the other side pulling it a bit more right. I feel like if there's a good mix in there, and again, I, you know, abolish democracy, but the proportional voting thing is the least bad option. So if the PPC gets like 10%, they should, if they had 10% of the power, if for nothing else than to just say nope when a minority government wants to do something crazy.
What I think is interesting is Trudeau thought he had this in the bag. Like, he called an election early because he wanted that majority government, and I've never seen anything blow up on someone like that, like in an election season.
Part of me hopes that Trudeau gets punished, but really, I don't think Aaron O'Toole is going to be any better.
I don't know. I'm not going to say who I voted for. I just had a...
Yeah, you'll get in trouble with your girlfriend.
Yeah, it was PPC all the way. Actually, I just went for...
You know PPC? Yeah, you know me.
I just wrote...
How come they didn't use that as their fucking... for their frigging campaign slogan?
I'm usually the one you have to tell not to.
I know. I think that might be the first accidental swear on the St. John Forward Radio. I've sworn before, but usually it's on purpose. That was the first slip. It was only a half swear. That's fine. But, yeah, they've become... I mean, it's just, to me, there are... For like the COVID stuff, I think, is the most important thing right now. It's something that all of the other stuff is, I mean, it's not completely unimportant, but this is the one thing that touches all of our lives every single day. And I mean, it affects most, like, their each of their own, like, their climate change plan. I mean, I'm not going to bump into their climate change plan every day walking about. But, I mean, it depends on... This thing tells me where I can go and what I've got to mush against my face.
It's really all they have. It's their entire platform that they're running on. And the rest of it is just...
And the one I say, I mean, so there's five parties that are all varying degrees of... Yep, we need to either keep doing everything that we're doing now or do more. And there's one that is saying, no, this sucks and it doesn't work and it's terrible and you don't have the authority to do this.
My problem with the PPC is they don't have a plan for how to do it better. Like, it's just get rid of everything and
doing absolutely nothing is doing it better.
Not
trampling on people's freedoms. I'm not being corny.
No, I know where you're coming from.
Not punching somebody in the face. I mean, if I'm punching you in the face repeatedly, and you're like, stop. I'm like, well, what's your plan? You want me to kick you in the face instead? I'm like, just stop punching me in the face, and then we'll figure out what happens
next. I don't disagree that forcing people to do the right thing, or what seems to be the right thing, or, you know, forcing people to do anything's a bad idea. Putting someone at gunpoint and saying you have to take this or else, they're gonna go for the or else every time.
And none of the other stuff that I've got more of an issue with, like, I don't know, I don't really think about immigration that much because it does. I'm sure it's an important thing, but it's not something I think about that much, and I haven't looked that much into it to have an intelligent opinion about it. But I mean, there's an argument that could be made that's not necessarily a racist one. I see what both sides are saying. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, they're wrongheaded in that they think that it's immigration that's causing these investors. It's foreign investments. No,
they're against anti-immigration, and here are the current flavor excuses why we support that. I mean, that's what it is. The housing thing, I don't think that has anything to do with immigration.
All that side stuff is the stuff that, like, I just can't...
All that stuff, they're not... If they get, like, 10 seats, they're not gonna...
They're not gonna lower
our immigration by 75%.
I realize that maybe I'm wrong on this, but
it
just...
And they're the only ones that even have a platform for free speech, which is also important.
I did like that, yeah. Defining what hate speech is.
And just all that. None of the other... I know, like, all politicians are lying panderers, but I prefer these lying panderers. At least they're pandering in the right direction. And, I mean, even if they don't get any seats, which I would be surprised. I feel like this is, like, pre-2016 election where nobody thought Trump was going to win. I feel like, again, there's a 0% chance that the PPC is going to win, but I think they'll get more votes than anybody gave them credit for, because the polls are high, and that is just people that are willing to admit to another person that they vote for the PPC. I suspect there's a bigger group of people that don't want to say it out loud.
Well, I will say this about Mad Max is he's not as crazy as Donald Trump was. Like, he's not, like, people are trying to paint him as another Trump. Like, the guy at least knows how to have a speech.
Yeah.
Like, the guy knows how to address the public.
Well, ball-breathing semen retention, it's goofy. But, I mean, if we picked apart all the other ones' lives, I'm sure we would find something. It's not, like, as obviously, like, internet memeable. But, I mean...
Yeah, maybe if Maxime Bernier was funnier.
How many of them believe in a magical man in the sky that takes care of everything? Like, I mean, that's pretty silly, too. I'm okay with that happening, though. It doesn't affect me.
If Maxime Bernier went on to the... Well, they weren't allowed in the debates, but if he went on the debates and said that Aaron O'Toole's wife had a dog face, you know, that might warm me up, too.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, and that's the other thing, just the arbitrary rules about who can be in the debate. I mean, they've got more support than the Green Party.
That's the thing, like, this whole, like, don't let them have a platform thing. Let them have a platform. Do what they did in the local debates.
Yeah.
Let them speak, and then...
I thought it was funny, Nick shared a video of him talking at UNB, and he's the only one they had to put, like, a plexiglass thing in front of.
You know, the apparently, because I saw another post, and, you know, grain of salt, like anything on the internet, that was the last podium they had, and they told him that in advance.
Yeah, I know, but it's because he's unvaccinated. And that's the other thing. We've known that it's not the particles. It's airborne. So, like, unless he's spitting in somebody's face, the shields are not doing anything. Anyway, but they're being painted as, like, this is a party that just has a different idea. And there's so many people that, I mean, if you are for democracy, why are you so mad that this party exists? I've seen my friends say, like, they shouldn't even be allowed to have a platform, and they shouldn't be allowed to run. Like, there was King Square was full of people. At least that many people care. If you care about democracy, you should be okay with other people voting for somebody that you don't like.
Let people speak.
I don't think most of my left-leaning friends, I don't think that they want democracy. I think they want democracy if their team wins.
To me,
if you're for democracy, then you be a good loser.
Well, again, like, either liberal or conservative.
More people want the other thing, so suck it up.
Whether far left or far right, like, that's kind of what happened. It turned into a sports thing. Like, it's not about the issues anymore. It's about whether or not, like, your team wins. And it's okay when your team does it. And that's the same for both sides.
Yeah. So I went to the rally, and again, there was one person that I'll talk about in a minute, but for the most part it was good vibes. You know, there was lots of trashy ladies there, just trashy enough. I liked it. You know, they're pushing around strollers, so you know they're down to party. But nobody was attacking the vaccinated. It was all about the passport stuff. None of the signs were anti-vax, even, which I'm even surprised that there wasn't any, like, straight up anti-vaxxers. Maybe the anti-vaxxers have just decided to keep their mouth shut. This is a more tenable position to be against the mandate, maybe. They aren't the most reasonable people, so I doubt it. But there was one person that, to be honest, I was expecting, maybe it's just that I've unfollowed a bunch of people the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much of a fuss made about it. And I haven't seen any news articles about it. But there was one person who was, everybody there pretty much knew that this person, I don't know if they're, I'm not going to say somebody hired them to be there. My guess is that it's just some left-leaning person who wanted to make everybody look like idiots. So this person is wearing like a skull mask with like light up green eyes, wearing an American flag cape and like a Captain America tank top. And they've got a sign like this is poison shots kill or something. And then on the back of it, it said, Trump save us, Nazi NB. And that was ambiguous. I mean, our friend Dan took the bait and posted as about, oh, well, obviously a Nazi showed up.
Yeah, what I took that to mean was that what they felt was happening was
my initial read. It was fake anyway, yeah. But my initial read was that the intention of that was Donald Trump, please save us from these Nazis in New Brunswick.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
I think Dan read it as Trump save us cordially, the Nazis of New Brunswick. But and like another little American flag, and this was the only person that was like doing the loop around King Square. They were just walking around in a circle with their sign and trying to get into as many pictures as possible. And
is that where you like? Because what I was going to ask you. Is it not possible that this is just, like, one crazy person that actually...
No, it's too stupid for it to be real.
Well, were they walking into every photograph that...
But, well, first off, wearing a mask of any sort to a COVID freedom rally is a red flag. There was aside from, like, a couple of people that were obviously reporters that were wearing masks, this person was wearing a mask. They're hiding their face.
It was a Halloween mask, though.
Yeah, but they're hiding their face for a reason. I mean, generally, somebody who is like that is not going to have any shame. And they're going to be... And, like, I saw people go up and be like, hey, let me see your face. And they're like, no, keep your 6 feet distance, please. Like, shut up, you fucking phony. There's another one. I'm sorry.
This is the last episode.
But it was... I'm 99.999% sure that, and again, I don't think any like other competing political parties hired this person, but this is somebody that was mad that this whole thing was happening, and they wanted to make sure that there was pictures so that, you know, all of our dumb aunts and Dan McCarthy can be like, oh, Nazis, of course.
We need to get back to our lives because we have way too much time on our hands if this
but,
is what's happening.
Like,
now.
What I was expecting was the next day my news feed would be filled with pictures of like, see, look at these anti-vaxxers.
If anything, like,
I didn't. Dan's is the only one that I saw.
If anything, I've just seen like people like you and other people that were at the rally that were just like, F that guy.
Yeah,
he's not one of us.
Yeah, I saw somebody commented on my post about it, and they're like, I got video, and somebody's like walking up to them. And accused them of being Wayne Long in disguise. That was pretty funny.
Actually, you know what? If it turned out that was Wayne Long, if he's going to those lengths, I probably would have... That would have locked in my vote for him.
But, Matt Copeland spoke up a little bit. He said, if this is a true story, I'm very impressed. He talked to Nick and went up and talked for a minute. Apparently, he was going to get fired from his job because he didn't want to get the vaccine, and he went and did some research and printed out some law or other that says you can't do this and showed it to his boss and saved his job.
Matt Copeland?
Yeah. If that's true, that's very impressive, and I'm happy to see it. It seems outlandish, but I don't know. So, but anyway, if that's true, then great. But, I mean, overall, they didn't mention, like, anti-vax, and, like, there are PPC candidates that are vaccinated. I don't think Nick is. But, like, there was a lady that was just talking about, like, schools and how kids are having to bear quite a bit of the brunt of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And,
My kid, I was talking to him about, like, his experience. They have to wear masks in gym class if it's inside.
Yeah,
like, imagine running around.
It's ridiculous. The lowest risk people, and this is all teachers and their terrible Nazi-like teacher unions. this is all just teachers that want to not come into work, and they are paranoid hypochondriacs because they love the CBC, almost all of them. And they think that all of these little kids are disease vectors, and somehow this little piece of t-shirt's going to keep everybody safe. But this person was talking about, like, homeschooling your kids and taking them out, which I was on board for with before COVID. I understand that not everybody is able to do that, but if I had kids, I would make every effort to do so. I don't know how logistically I would pull it off, but if somebody is in a position where you can do that, I think even a parent stumbling through a curriculum is going to do a better job than the public school.
But you're missing out on the whole, like...
Yeah, no, you definitely need to find a way to... Well, socializing in school is mostly bullying and a lot of bad stuff.
No kids,
you should find a way to... No. that prepares them to get bullied as adults. We just internalize it and do what we're told, like good dogs. No, you definitely, if you're going to do that, you don't want to keep your kid at home and, like, never see anybody else. You could put them into sports or, I don't know, whatever activities kids do with other kids. That's definitely a key part. Kids need to be around other kids. Hopefully not locked in a room with a bunch of sociopaths, happens in a real school.
I just noted since, like, my kid's gone back, like, he's been, like, thriving, and that was something he was nervous about for a while, was going back. He's annoyed by, like, all the measures, sure, but I still feel like he's better off in school than home, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I would disagree, but I don't know if that means that, you know, somebody can't get a job to support them or somewhere. Like, I know there's major logistical issues, but I mean, for the most part, I feel like my philosophy on education was always get out of the way as much as possible. And I think the biggest problem I have with education is just they associate education with some person at the front of the room nagging them and, like, making them do this and reading a book that they don't like. I mean, you have kids. You probably saw them grow up and, like, they're inquisitive and they'll pick something up, yeah, and they'll take it apart and they'll look at it. Like, kids naturally like to learn. Any little kid, if you tell them a new thing that they didn't know yesterday, they're usually pretty excited about that.
The best thing that ever happened, because I went through the early childhood sector as well too. Like, I used to work at a daycare, and the best change that they ever made was creating a new play-based curriculum. And yeah, that honestly, like, for the first chunk of school, I would say even elementary school as a whole, like, you need to rethink how you do that. Kids learn a lot more easily if it's led by them.
Yeah, and I tried to do that when I was still teaching. It's a tough thing to introduce in high school because kids go through the whole thing and they're used to just listening to the boring person at the front of the class,
yeah,
list them off a bunch of facts, and then you parrot it back on a test. But I took a course on it, and I still think this is a good way to do it. The idea with the thing that I was trying to do was to wean them off me as much as possible throughout the year. So
right,
the lessons got shorter and shorter. So it got to, like, I'm teaching a physics class, I'll do, like, one basic problem as an example for, like, 15 minutes, and then I'll let them work on stuff for the next 45. And again, their impulse is, oh, Mr. Forward, I don't know how to... And I wanted them, I had them in groups, and I wanted them to kind of peers, like, help each other out. So, yeah, like, but that kids that are used to succeeding in the, like, the cookie cutter recipe and paired it back to the teacher model, they didn't like that. I've got many complaints from parents that are like, I asked Mr. Forward how to do something and he told me to ask the kid next to me, which I did, but not in a, like, oh, don't bother me kind of way.
Yeah.
It was, I've got these kids set up in groups, and I picked the groups so that there was a mix of, like, higher and low level people, and somebody's asking me a question, and I can see that the kid next to him in his team is already working away at it, and, like, if they became more self-reliant and talked to each other and worked that out, like, if they hit a roadblock and they get stuck, then I'm certainly there to nudge them in the right direction.
Right.
But they're so used to, I don't know, what's the answer? And then you give them the answer, and then they write it down, and they don't learn how to figure anything out.
Well, to be fair, there are some people that learn that way. Like, everyone has a different method of learning.
It's not necessarily learning. Like, I did well in that, but I didn't learn anything. You can get good grades, but you don't necessarily know it. Like, a friend of mine went into physics with me, and he was... Like, we went to the same school, and we were both good at physics and doing the problems and spitting out the right answer at the end. But as soon as we got to third year, and we had professors that started asking, like, follow-up questions, like, which direction is this vector pointing? Or, like, to explain the recipe steps that you took when figuring out the problem, he just had no idea.
Oh.
Because he didn't learn anything. He learned how to do school. But he wasn't... There's a difference between education and schooling.
So you basically need to find a way, right from the very beginning, after early childhood, because they've already started those building
blocks. Yeah, it's... Way,
deprogram people.
Way too much of it is teaching them what to think and not how to think.
Right.
And I think even a mediocre homeschooler, that piece of it isn't there.
Well, and I'm not playing down homeschooling at all. Like, I've known... my ex homeschooled both my kids last year, and she did a phenomenal job. And I have a good friend of mine in Fredericton who homeschooled all her kids until high school.
Yeah, and you don't need to be a super genius to, like, you just need to be at a higher level than the kids are. If you've got kids in fifth grade, if you've got a sixth grade education and you're motivated, you can probably get through.
Yeah.
Again, get some help. Best case scenario, I would like to see more neighborhoods kind of pooling together and maybe, like, group together 10 kids in the neighborhood and, like, this parent's good at this subject and this one, and they kind of take turns, something like that.
You can go back to communities actually helping each other.
Yeah, and I think if we didn't have public education, I think there'd be more private options, and I think the price would go way, way, way down because it would have to. But right now, unfortunately, the only kids that can go to private school are people that can afford, like, the tax and all of the other stuff that they're already paying for, plus, like, an extra thousands of dollars a year, which is kind of unattainable for most people.
I feel like I was walking along the woods just fine, and then all of a sudden there's a pile of leaves, and I decided it would be harmless to walk through it. Then I fell right into a libertarian pit.
Oh, here we are. Abolish
all... You did it again, John!
Abolish all public institutions. We're coming up. I forgot to do a station ID a half hour ago. We didn't even play any songs. We just talked for 60 minutes straight.
This is the most serious I've ever been on the show.
Well, all right. 25 for liberal, 88 for conservative, 1 for Bloc Québécois. All right, we're calling it again. Liberal majority.
It's a landslide.
You heard it. So anyway... That was, I meant to just tell my little story about the rally, and then we were just going to BS about some nonsense for the rest of the time. But,
we had to talk about education.
Our sharp political minds just can't be stopped. We've got zero views. But, yeah, everybody's listening on the radio. But anyway, we've got, a minute and a half left, and I think we ran out of steam on the real conversation. I don't know what we're going to stretch this out with for the last minute and a half.
Listen to Four Story Walk-Up.
Yeah, definitely. We just had a new episode last, when was that, Thursday?
Yeah, hot new ep.
Is the audio out yet?
I haven't checked.
I don't think so. But yeah, fourstorywalkup.podbean.com for even more swears than On Campus Radio.
Also on Spotify or Apple Music or I think Google.
Yeah, there's a YouTube page for Four Story Walkup. There's a Facebook page. The videos are up there. So,
you have no excuse.
So check that out. This has been Brian Godso. You didn't have anything to plug on Thursday. I assume that hasn't changed.
No.
Me neither. So I'm just gonna hit shuffle on the Spotify, and we'll play whatever song that is until we get kicked off the air by the next show. There we go. TGIF by K-Play with Tom Morello.
Just a little bit of communism before we have a liberal majority. Who gives a fuck? Let's light it up. Let's make a mess. Let's coalesce. Let's make a fuss. The world is filled with psychopaths, so. I wanna fight, I wanna rage against the fucking machine. They told me I-